can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Testing. Welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Ooh, I got a controversial one for you tonight. Now, y'all keep me straight tonight here. This is going to be a little complicated. It will, but I am going to simplify it. Tonight, Jesus is coming soon. And what events have to happen before he comes back? Bible tells you. Have they happened? How are we supposed to really know? We depend on the news. We depend on the history books. We depend on what they tell us. They've already planned. They, the Illuminati, controls the history books and education. But you know, there's one thing that they're required to do, and that's to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. You think that they're less required than what God would require of his own prophets to tell us what's going to happen before? You see, they have to do it, but here's the trick. They do it such a way that people are deceived. The Holy Spirit divides it. You got the Holy Spirit in you, you can see through the deception. Those that don't have will be deceived. It's not about Ferguson, it's not about Fukushima, it's not about incoming meteorite that's going to take the earth. It's not about an atomic bomb that takes out a city somewhere. None of that. This is about the end of the time review, the end of time. And that's so ambiguous. End of time. Oh, we're all going to die. No, end of time means eternity begins. They don't tell you that. End of time. Eternity is no time. So when it says end of time, yeah, that's true. End of time means that eternity begins. See, end of time, we're, oh yeah, okay. See, we're taught in education, that all comes together. Ah, I see now. Oh boy. See, and, oh wow, that's, okay, I got it. In death education, they teach you that life is final at death. Bingo. Okay, kiddies, let's go to the cemetery, and we're going to do some etchings of headstones. Little Johnny, you going to get us an old headstone?
Oh, yeah, I want to get a headstone.
You're going to look for a 1700 one, 1800 one, and take it home. Look, Mama, I found me a dead man, 1800, 1700. Look at there. Very good, Johnny. Did a good etching there. I know. He's going to put it up on his wall. Viewings of dead people. They're dead. The body's there. The soul's not there. The soul's gone. It's not sleeping. The body is sleeping. How do you know that? You can see it. There it is. Oh, yeah, people cry at funerals and all that. It's emotional and so forth and so on. But family, it's just flesh there. It's going to rot. It's going to turn to bones. But those bones are going to be brought back in a supernatural way. Time of judgment. They just sleep. That's sleeping. The body sleeps, turned to dust. God brings back. Yeah. Yeah, we might go over a little bit tonight again, 9:15, 9:30. I got a lot to cover tonight. But get you a cup of coffee, cup of tea, or lemon juice, apple cider vinegar, and honey, whatever you're drinking. We're going to make a night of it. Not a night of it. But I want to explain this, because, well, they have a large audience tonight or whatever. I put it out on recording and so forth and send it out. There they are, dead. We go through all kinds of rituals. We decide whether or not to cremate them or not, whatever. It doesn't matter what you do. God's going to bring it back together anyway for judgment. The end of the time is coming. End of the world is near. Repent. People start looking for, well, when's it coming, really? I want to know exactly. You got a calendar, stopwatch? Oh, boy. Ah, it's not going to be in our lifetime. That's what I hear a lot. Well, I got news for them. They're not going to live forever, whether they're in a car accident, God forbid, but something along the way before their time. What before their time? Well, I guess we would name it before 80 years old or before 90 or something. You know, when they die at 1 years old or 2 or 10. It's before his time. Really, who says? Maybe God brought them home. We don't know. They ain't coming back again. No such thing as reincarnation. Reincarnation. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And, you know, reincarnation means you have to have a memory. Reincarnation, you keep coming back and keep, you know, you fix the mistakes you made. Well, why is it that if we're reincarnated beings, how come I can't remember the mistakes I made, you know, 200 years ago? You know, how come you can't remember? Oh, they come up with these people under hypnosis and all that nonsense. I remember they're all kings and queens or some duke or something. Duck or Duke or something another, right? They're all famous people, so could it be a hallucination? Could it be a demonic entity because you have submitted to this, that you're given false memories? Oh, but it was real. Yeah, because the demon knows about that, and it puts that memory planted in your brain. That's one of the three levels of interaction with demonic activity in human beings that submit to that occult. Yeah, they have the memory all right, but it's not them. It's the demon that gives it to them. So how come it is all of us can't remember our previous lives? How come I can't remember that I was a shoe salesman or I was, I don't know, in the Civil War. Y'all really did look for me in the Civil War pictures when I was in high school. I sort of believed that when I was in high school, seventh grade. So I'd look for my picture in Confederate pictures. Where'd I get that from? Education. Nonsense. How come we don't have previous memories? That means that reincarnation is impossible. Because I got to say, well, now I did that in my previous life. I can't do it now in this one. Does that mean I keep coming back over and over? Like, what's that thing, Groundhog Day or something? Because I can't remember what I did wrong because I keep doing the wrong things over and over. See, reincarnation is impossible. It's nonsense. Let's dedicate to broadcast and get with the real stuff. Goodness gracious. Lord, thank you tonight. For we have another Bible study. Thank you, Father, for this network. Gives us opportunity to study the Bible and trade the information, pass it on, witness, share. Father, send that Holy Spirit down, touch us all, bring us together, and guard us, Lord, in your heavenly body. Lord, we pray for our families. That you wake them up with divine appointments, opportunities that, Father, will break them out of their slumber. To take the wool, take the scales off their eyes that they may see. Father, give us the words to speak that's going to open up hearts and minds. Forgive us of our sins. Lead us tonight, Lord, in this study of the future events. And Father, we may be able to recognize what's coming and be able to stand strong when the time comes that you put us on your surface. Lord, that's why we pray. In the name of your Son, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, tonight, I want to simplify this as much as I simply can. You all won't know it. For me, it's complicated as a dickens. But I try to improvise, like I've told you many times before, a very complicated subject, as far as I'm concerned, to simplify it. So, I want to cover first the events that we think that were told, that were told in the Bible. They're supposed to happen first. Then I'm going to talk about Jesus is coming soon. It's kind of a summary, quick shot of what we've talked about now toward the end. And what we've, actually, it kind of works out. I wouldn't plan this way. And then I'm going to talk about, y'all, about what happens to believers, what happens to unbelievers, what happens when a Christian dies. Ambitious, huh? What will happen to unbelievers? We'll see how far we get. What are the events supposed to happen before Jesus comes back? The blooming of the fig tree. It's not about Israel. Israel is not the fig tree in this situation. We talked about it in Matthew's, as I've discussed before. But I'm going to give you some real-world examples of how this world is waxing worse and worse. Now, I don't mean to be negative, but family, you got to face reality here. You know, I'd like to say everything's all better, and there's a Iraqi dinar is going to, you know, revalue and we'll all be millionaires or all that. But whatever it is, money is going to go away. All the food you got in the storage is going to be eaten up. All the, you know, if you're getting a firefight and you have all this ammunition, what are you going to do with it? And if you got all preparations ready for the end time events, you're going to have some hungry neighbors. What are you going to do? Family, people aren't thinking. They're not thinking. And then 90% of the population don't even know what we're talking about anyway. These military surplus stores are going to sell out for what? I'm not saying just sit on your hands and do nothing. You have means to protect yourself and means to be prepared, but it's not to panic. But whatever it is you have, you're going to run out. So what do you do when you run out? You always plan ahead. And in no show, no program, I've ever heard him say, after buy my freeze-dried food, buy gold, buy silver, come buy me here, get 10%. And then they sell freeze-dried food, and they say get your bug-out bag, and where are you going to go? I mean, they never tell you the details. This is called fear. If you're going to tell them to buy you freeze-dried food, well, what are you going to do after you run out of it? When you don't have internet anymore, or you got the Spetsnaz and the Russian Special Forces, Chinese, and the millions here. What are you going to do then? Go to Walmart where it's fenced off and get your water and your milk and your eggs? Then what? Where's your vaccine? Your mark? People aren't paying any attention to what's really going on. When you run out, what are you going to do? What do they do in the desert? What do they do about manna? If God did it once, he can do it again. But you got to have faith. Not be afraid of death. I wait till it happens. Yeah, you're going to die anyway. Sometime, whether you're 95 or 100 years old, you're still going to die if end times events don't get here till you're 150 years old. You're going to die before that time. So now what are you going to do? Where's your soul going? See, people aren't thinking ahead. What if you go out here and go to the store and your car gets, you know, well, oh, your time's come. And you ain't going to be reincarnated. Are we close? Well, let's see here. Battle lines are drawn in Oklahoma. Lawmakers take aim at gays. Now, I'm not for gays. You know, I'm not gay. But I was an adulterer in my marriages. I was a liar and a cheater. I have to admit that. I'm not innocent. I joined the Marine Corps to kill people, man. That's the only reason I joined it. And secondarily was to, you know, serve my country and all that stuff. But I joined the Marine Corps to kill, man. I wanted to get out there and fight and or die if I had to. Whatever is part of what comes along with it. I mean, I wasn't going to run in front of a bullet, but my idea was to come back alive, but the risk was there, and I was willing to take it for my country and because I wanted to. And in the meantime, I did things along the way in my personal life that really shouldn't have ever. I tell you that because I can't judge gays and say, well, they're all bad because I did some things, too, just as bad as that. I have to admit that. You know, maybe it's not the right thing to do on the air, but I just feel like I got to do it. Whatever. But here you got the battle lines drawn. Oklahoma lawmakers take aim at gays. Well, won't you take aim at adulterers? Take aim at liars? Take aim at Freemasons that, you know, take a blood oath and justify their jester meetings? Why just gays? You can't stop at gays. You got Steven Anderson in Arizona. All gays should be killed. What? Well, hold on there, man. Unnatural affections. Gays. Killed. Uh-huh. He cites Old Testament. Well, hold on there a minute now. Hold on there, Stephen. What about the adulterers in your class? How about the ones that see Miss Mary Ann and says, whoa, Lordy, she's just divorced. Oh, hello, Mary Ann. I'm a deacon, but how you doing? You know, you got to kill him, too. He's an adulterer. His mind is thinking that. He's just like an adulterer, according to Matthew. So you got to kill him, too. Just take out the gays and take them in the back and the adulterers and liars and cheaters and line them up and kill them all. See, these people aren't thinking. Ones like Steven Anderson and all these others are work for the Illuminati. You see, Doesn't work that way. You witness to them. Don't mean you hang around at Starbucks with them, but you witness to them and guard yourself. You know a deacon is committing adultery? Hey, buddy, I won't tell him. You see, we're dividing here, not looking at the real picture. 3 days of darkness, Fatima, whatever. Now they got this 3 days of darkness nonsense coming. There's no 3 days of darkness. 3 days of darkness can be engineered, yes, by technology, supernatural whiz-bang, smoke and mirrors. Fatima has nothing to do with the Bible. Fatima's Roman Catholic Mary thing going on. Mary's in heaven with Jesus. She's not running around here in apparitions and pretending to be a ghost and all and appearing in sandwiches and trees. That's not Mary. Mary's up there. Only one you've got contact with is Jesus. Mary is not divine. Blessed? Not divine. No way possible. So this Fatima, where'd she come from? Come out of woodwork, man. 3 days of darkness, can they engineer it? Yep. Is it in the Bible? Nope. They're pushing it big time. And it may happen. It's not in the Bible. So it's a fraud. So when it brings a fake Jesus, he's a fraud. Anything they bring after 3 days of darkness, I don't matter what it is a fraud. And fraud and more fraud. But it's coming. I've had some serious people tell me about it. And I told them serious what to do with it. Not in a bad way, in my usual way. But I said, man, there ain't no 3 days of darkness. There's one in the sixth seal and the seventh bowl. That's it. No 3 days of darkness. So I searched it out. Some people helped me. 3 days of darkness is Fatima. The Virgin Mary talking to Brother David. Carried it out to Fatima. Some prophecy or whatever. It's all nonsense. Get ready, though. Something will get ready to happen. It's all a fraud. Then you got something very interesting here. There's a dress in Utah, a dress that a teen was wearing in her school dance that showed her shoulders. Okay. They got her, and it's an article came out about a dress that a girl wore in Utah. Now watch this. The dress, quote, got a Utah teen in major trouble at her school dance because it showed her shoulders in Utah. I thought, okay, we could play this game. So I found another article. It said, federal judge strikes down part of Utah's polygamy ban. We're talking hypocritical, right up the yin-yang, man. Utah's got problems, man. They may have a lot of salt there, but they got some problems. They can fill a lot of salt shakers, but they're not really good at the religion part. Mm-mm. Got a problem there in Utah, boy. Utah is real short. Not so tall, is Utah. And then we really get real sticky. I found articles. This is not funny. This is really bad. But it's happening. What's it like to date your dad? Then I found an article within the article. Woman plans to marry her father after 2 days of dating. And this is not her stepdaughter, which is about as worse. Woman plans to marry her father, blood father, after 2 years of dating. Then it has an article, what's it like to date your dad? Family, we're heading down that rusty path, let me tell you what. Then I found, knew about an article in Rosemont, Wisconsin. So I put them all together here. And I seen a pattern, y'all, here. Rosemont, Wisconsin High School. A prank forces students to make out with their parents. As they were blindfolded, they had to guess who was kissing them. And it was their parent. Well, at least it was their opposite sex parent. In Rosemont High School about 2 or 3 years ago. Oh, I know, the principal apologized, but that was just SOP. The idea was it was a Nimrod ritual. It was a ritual. They did in your face. It was on purpose. So I put it all together. What's it like to date your dad? Woman plans to marry her father after 2 years of dating. Rosemont High School. I knew there was connections. Where's leading to? I told people a long time ago there's more to it than just some stupid school making stupid ideas. Some kind of stupid prank. It was way beyond a prank. They called it a prank. It was setting up something else as a ritual. Right under our noses. I know these people. Then it's called also the Pep Fest Kissing. I mean, we're talking some kissing here going on between a dad and his daughter and a mother and her son that was not even natural. In one case, they were rolling out on the floor. Well, it's you can see it on YouTube. It still got it there. They want you to see it. Then I found another article recently. Slam dunk. I hate to tell you I told you so, but I'm going to tell you so. Here it is. GOP Senator asked Loretta Lynch. I'd love to trace her bloodline back to Willie Lynch. Would that be a hoot? 1711, Barbados, or West Indies. The man who set up slavery in America. That's another story. Willie Lynch letters. Check it out. GOP Senator asked Loretta Lynch, why is gay marriage okay but polygamy isn't? Slam dunk. See how they work? It took me a while to put all this together. That's how they do it. Oh, I'm not done. Well, it gets even better in a negative way. The husband's real hound, girl, 18 years old, marries a stray dog as part of a bizarre Indian tribal ritual designed to ward off evil spirit. And it shows you pictures. And you got a dog that's got a grin on his face. It's unbelievable. You say, West India. Then you have an English woman. I'll cover my bases. Woman who married dog tells this morning show, I am totally her B.I. You know what? And it's got her on TV, on this morning show. It's got a picture of the dog. Happy dog, too. I bet she's well fed. And she married her dog. And missed it on TV so everybody can see. I cover them on all my bases. I cover them. Man marries his pet dog in a wedding ceremony in Australia. A man marries his pet dog. Family, this is not just one place. I'm not done. Sabrina Boing Boing, Brazilian model, Brazil, Instagrams herself breastfeeding a calf. Is this kind of reversed or something? Aren't we supposed to drink milk from a cow instead of the cow drinking the milk from a human? Something is bad wrong with this world. These are all some recent, one old. There's an Idaho Christian woman warns lawmakers they will legalize necrophilia by protecting LGBT rights. Necrophilia is marrying the dead, a corpse, having sex with a corpse. And then I found U.S. military is hit with bestiality, sodomy, controversy over or after don't ask, don't tell repeal. I've said this dozens of times on the air. Clinton, Carter, Obama, Bush, they all work together. To weaken the military, don't ask, don't tell, 1990s. When I was a Marine Corps recruiter in Buffalo, New York, and I was not a recruiter, I was an operations officer, had to interview, one of the final interviews before we went up to the AFES medical. Gosh, I remember that. Wow. Anyway, I asked him, are you homosexual? And he says, yes. I said, well, here, you're not going to make it, buddy. You're out of here. He ain't going to get it. It's not good to share a shower with a homosexual. It don't work. Now, today you'd say, oh, Tom, come on. Really? Well, you tell that to 15,000 males in the military that were sexually assaulted by 15,000 males. You go ahead and tell them that. And 12,000 females. Unwrap that popsicle. You see, people don't have a clue what's really going on around us. Don't ask, don't tell was to bring homosexuals in the military. And then either Bush or Obama, whoever was going to be appointed president, was to then say, now you come out in the open. And it did just what it's supposed to do, split the military. Oh boy, did it ever. But that's not the point. The point here, relative to tonight's Bible study, is how everything's changing throughout the world. That's the point. I think I made my point. It's worldwide. And you know what? How did they know this 3,000 years ago? How did they know this 2,000 years ago? 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 13. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving, speaking lies easily and convincingly, and being deceived. The Bible warns us in the last days, evil men and women will be prevalent, lying and deception. We call it spin today. It will characterize the generation and the leaders who will pull the world down into the dark abyss and terrors of the coming apocalypse. The Bible goes on to warn, though, all those who call things God calls evil good, and the things that God calls good, they'll call evil. It's all happened and happening, excuse me. There's a lot of examples that I've given you, the twisting and right and wrong found in the world today, including lying and deceiving and other obnoxious and obvious examples, including homosexuality, which God, the Bible, calls evil. Homosexuality of unnatural affections, it's and adultery, all that is, he says, even debate is not allowed. It's listed among murders. Debate and murdering. It's what says the Bible. We can't pick and choose. It's now being presented as good on television. That was an awkward way of saying television. Movies and our schools are all changed. Remember Cheyenne back in the 60s? A man's got to be a man and tell the truth. And Bart Starr and all those guys, good sportsmanship, you know. Fearsome. Tough, but good old guys, gentle giants. Today, they do stupid dances when they score a touchdown. They wear those, make sure you see the tattoos, because tattoo is digital tattoo for the mark of the beast. But anyway, it's here and there. Fighting on the field. That's the norm. They're on commercials. Being disrespectful. Pushing the referees. It's normal. It's all coming around. Sorry, but it is. We were warned about this. We were warned about this. And even on TV now, it is open as it could ever be. I mean, just last night I was going through the CBS thing and I watched some shows. One of the commercials was two guys talking and one said, I forgot what it was, something about, now I'm going to teach you all something. And one guy says to him, you hitting on me? And he said, yeah, that's the best thing you said all day. And I'm like, what did he say on TV? Who wrote that script? Whew. It's just common now. They use the actors and actresses and to promote this agenda. That's what they're for. That's the purpose of it. Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Oh, there I was. Wine was a drink of the day, but getting drunk wasn't. God hates all this. Why his son had to go on the cross. God did what he had to do. Well, we get down to what events have happened already and have been fulfilled. And we'll see how far we get tonight, and then tomorrow will be the next step. Previous generations have thought that Jesus Christ would return in their lifetime. Others today in denial say, will never happen in my lifetime. They always say that. So some say it's going to happen now. Others say it's not going to happen in my lifetime. Nobody knows. But they've been proven wrong, it said, happened in their lifetime. Many people alive today think that Christ's return is imminent. Certainly the Bible contains prophecies that could have been fulfilled until this generation. Well, when you're saying that Jesus is coming soon, what this is telling you, actually, is he can come any time. Be ready. It's telling you, be ready all time. Don't just wait the last minute. Like the 10 virgins and the 5 that had to go trim the lamps and get the oil. They missed it. But you don't know when he's coming. So when you say soon, it puts a sense of urgency. You know, before the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection followed it, of course, he delivered a major prophecy of end-time events that we've talked about now for the past couple weeks. Matthew 24, 25, Mark 13, and Luke 21. He was asked by disciples, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming of the end of the age? Now, as you remember, Matthew 24, verse 3. Like the 3 days of Fatima, three dark days, others like to tack on the generation of 70 years. Then they add that, for some oddball reason, to the blossoming of the fig tree. Oh, that's Israel. So then they say, well, Israel blossomed in 1948. Aha. This generation shall not pass. When's the generation? 70 years. Aha. So they say, oh, then we must mean, it must mean to add 70 years, that generation, blossom the fig tree, 1948. Oh, 2017 is coming. 2018. No. The blossoming of the, talking about the fig tree in Matthew. He's saying all these events must take place, not Israel. Israel is just a small part of it. It must happen. But it's talking about all the events, wars, famines, Israel, Jerusalem, the 10 kingdoms, the peace efforts, the travel and knowledge, great wickedness, spiritualism, apostasy, the Antichrist. All these things got to happen. That's the generation that sees all those events in Matthew 24 this is talking about, not Israel. Israel must be formed, but it's not the real Israel of the Bible, where Jesus has come down. Sananda will. That'll be the false prophet. So it's partial fulfillment. Jesus responded with a description of conditions and events that we've talked about that lead up to his second coming. He told them what would have to happen. They thought it meant this generation. So, gosh, it's going to happen while I'm evangelizing. No, he said these events. So people like to say that Jesus lied when he told them that generation never happened when his disciples all died. Jesus lied. No, he didn't. He said, these signs become evident. His return would occur within one generation. Matthew 24, 34. Could this be that generation? I don't know. We have to watch and listen, observe, pray. Throughout the nearly 2,000 years, since Christ gave his prophecy, many have thought that those were the time of his return. Turned out to be wrong. But there are a number of prophecies in the Bible that could not be fulfilled until our modern era, post-World War II. By the way, one of them is the human race would have the ability to exterminate itself. Had to be. In Matthew 24, 22, it describes the world conditions prior to the second coming. If that time of troubles were not cut short, no living thing would survive. But for the sake of God's chosen, it would be cut short. So, in Matthew 24:22, and except those days should be shortened, there would be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And they're trying to take off with that and run with it. That won't be 7 years of tribulation. So it's going to be shorter than that, if at all. Man, I tell you. They keep forgetting about the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. Will take place. The days shortened going to mean the days of light and then the nights come later? I don't know. It's God's business. He'll take care of it. The main message that Jesus Christ brought was that of coming kingdom of God. Described as the gospel, Mark 1:14. And the gospel means good news. Don't look at it negatively. Some of these prophecies concerning events prior to the establishment of the kingdom seem negative. I imagine if you're stuck here, they would be quite negative. But keep in mind that the central focus of biblical prophecy is the good news. Gospel, the coming of kingdom of God. When a loved one dies, we weep. But in reality, what are we weeping for? We weep because we miss them. If they weren't saved or born again, well, there's a problem. If they were born again, accepted Jesus as Savior, why weep? Then when you become born again, you just see him again. So why weep? Lazarus died. Jesus made sure he's good and dead. Smelling bad too. So when he appeared, see, remember what he did with the servant of the gladiator, or the Roman commander? I think it was a Roman commander. A Roman had faith in Jesus. He said, my servant is ill. My servant is dying. Can you help him? Go. And the servant was healed at a distance. at the very second, the very moment that Jesus said he is healed. So don't you think he could have done that with Lazarus? He didn't. He waited till Lazarus was good and dead and smelling bad. Why? Because he wanted to raise him. No, everybody knew he was dead. He wasn't just knocked out or in coma or whatever. He was so dead, he was smelling bad. He was already in the grave. He is done. So Jesus wept. Why? Several reasons. One, he wept for their crying. Two, because they didn't believe. Jesus said, you'll see him again. Yeah, we know we'll see him again in the times, blah, blah, blah. We go with that. They still didn't get it. So he had to go down there and tell them to move the stone away. He called Lazarus forth, and they saw him again, like within a few minutes. They didn't believe that Jesus could bring him back from the dead after all that other that happened. That's another reason he wept. Jesus didn't cry for Lazarus. He knew he was going to bring him back in the glory of God. That's why I live. Because they even say, he stinketh, Lord. He's dead, man. He stinks. I mean, he's already it's already decomposition setting in. He is definitely dead. No, he's not dead. He just sleeps. Ah, he just sleeps. I've been told that Jesus cried because he had to pull him out of heaven. And he's going to miss Lazarus. What are you talking about? I had somebody tell me that's a theologian. Jesus cried because he had to bring him out of heaven back into the body. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Matthew 24:22 shows us that if Jesus Christ does not intervene in world affairs, human race will be faced with extinction. But does he not protect them in the abomination of desolation? When he says, run to the mountains, he'll protect them there. The mortal race still. 3.5 years in the tribulation period. It's crucial to note, however, that humanity has had the capability for self-annihilation for a little more over 50 years. That's where both the U.S. and Soviet Union, actually working together, developed a stockpile of hydrogen bombs, and the world had to learn to live with mutually assured destruction, as they called it. And in the 60s, there's only three nuclear powers, Britain being the other, and by the middle of the 1960s, you had France and China join the nuclear club. Today, at least 8 nations have nuclear warheads or more. I know Israel, of course, in the 60s. JFK tried to stop it. The number looks set to increase with nuclear arms race in the Middle East and India and Pakistan and whatever. Of course, the more nuclear powers we have in the world, the more likely it is that someone will use it for evil. Now they have man-pack weapons. 6 kiloton that can fit on the back of your... in a pack, back sack. I know of a operation they planned exercise in Chicago. What would happen? 6 kiloton bomb went off in Chicago. It was rehearsed back in 2006. Of course, nuclear programs in North Korea and Iran last some years. Pakistan falling into radical Islamists, which are controlled by the Vatican anyway. Yeah, that's right. You had your Pakistan, your Taliban, your ISIS, you know, which don't exist anyway. They're controlled by the secret societies and intelligence agencies control your ISIS and Al-Qaeda. That's all fictitious alternate enemies. They're enemies, but they're controlled by the secret societies. People don't realize that. Sympathizers have gained power, territory, influence, making nuclear terrorism more likely, being blamed on them. Osama bin Laden, they milked for a long time. He died in 2001, not 2011. That's another story. I ain't going there tonight. Russia and China are determined, flexing their muscle as enemies, even though they have troops here, allowed by Clinton and Carter. They're all working together. Coming back to the Cold War era. But you know, the good news is that Christians have an assurance that Jesus Christ will intervene to save mankind from total annihilation. It's about rapture, protection in the mountains for some. Prophecy cannot be fulfilled until man has the potential for self-extinction through weapons of mass destruction. And again, only in the last 50 years has this become possible. Then the Jewish homeland had to be established in the Middle East, had to have a place to go to. Central focus of end-time events is Jerusalem, obviously. It's environs, and people refer to the Holy Land. If you look at Luke 21, it's kind of a parallel chapter to Matthew 24. When you go to Luke's part of it, his account of Christ's long prophecy that answered the disciples' questions, "Teacher, when will all these things be? What will be the sign? What will be the things that are about to take place?" Around Luke 21:7. Well, Jesus showed that Jerusalem would be the central focus. Political, military upheavals that would precede his return. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, Psalms 83, then know that desolation is near. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written must be fulfilled. They got to have a fake one to bring the fake Jesus in. Because you're going to have a period of prosperity, which they'll term as the end of Armageddon. They say the great war is coming in 3 days of darkness. So they got to have a fake war coming in a fake 3 days of darkness to bring on the false Messiah, Sananda, and the Antichrist, to be a good guy to stop it all, to stop us from exterminating ourselves. You get it now? But 7 years earlier, because 7 years after that, the real Jesus is coming. Tricky stuff coming. Tricky, tricky, tricky. Christians that don't study this are going to be fooled, even the very elect, if it were possible. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. You know, a century ago, would have found these words impossible to comprehend and understand. Needless to say, Daniel would have no clue. So how to make it up, something he had no idea about? How did John make this up with no idea about it? Could it be the Holy Spirit guiding him? Somebody told me the other day, "You're an idiot. You're crazy. Jesus didn't even write the Bible." I said, "Well, no, you're wrong." I said, "No, Jesus wrote the Bible. He never wrote anything." I said, "Well, yeah, he did." You see, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are all one. And all Scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit of righteous men who wrote as they were moved by the Spirit. They didn't just make it up. God told Moses, there's God, told Moses, "Write this down, boy, every word for word. 613 instructions of the law." And God did it with his finger in stone, supernaturally, 10 commandments, twice. One got broken, remember? There's God right there. Moses, write this down. He didn't say, "Moses, knock me out 600 instructions, bring it back, and I'll test it for you. I'll check it out." No, he didn't do that. He told you, "Write this down, boy, every word I tell you." Okay? So then the prophets, they didn't make this stuff up. They couldn't possibly. Holy Spirit moved upon them to make them right. Holy Spirit, there you go. Who's God and Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ, too. disciples walked with Jesus, New Testament, Greek. They wrote as they inspired when the Pentecost, they remembered what they did with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit guided them when they wrote. Yes, Jesus wrote the whole Bible. Through men's hands, he wrote the Bible from start to finish. Men as moved by the Spirit, but not by their own mind. But as they're moved by the Spirit. Anyone living about a century ago, you think they'd have figured all this out? No way. They didn't have the educational background of any kind like this. Jerusalem in ancient times had been fought over countless times. They even fought each other. But for four centuries from the year 1517, the city had been at peace with the boundaries of the Ottoman Empire. The Roman Empire was predicted by Daniel, wasn't even formed up yet. How do you know that 2,500 years later? Jews lived there as a minority under the Turkish rule. But that was going to change dramatically during the course of the 20th century. Had to change for fulfillment of biblical prophecy to take place. And the Old Testament prophet Zechariah, used by God to reveal a great deal about the end time events and the second coming of the Messiah. Zechariah lived and prophesied for more than 500 years before Christ's first coming. His prophetic book tells us a great deal about our world today. Work by Melvin Rhodes talks a lot about this. He does a good job. Melvin Rhodes does. God says in Zechariah 12, 2 to 3, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. In that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, all that burden themselves, when it shall be cut in pieces, through all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." That's going to be the second seal. The first seal, Israel must sign a pact, confirm a covenant with the Antichrist. So that means they got to have something ugly before then. There's your 3 days of darkness and your final battle lead to the first seal. They're going to try to trick you with that. Make the first seal look like Armageddon has ended. And Sananda, the false Christ, will take over. That's the trick. But in verse 9, when the second seal opens, well, Zechariah 9, "And it shall come to pass in that day, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." I don't think they're reading that part. You think that maybe that's coming, that's in the past. They like to make you think that when Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, but that's not what happened. "And that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem. On the east of the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making it a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Zechariah 14, 1 to 4. So that's remained to be fulfilled. It's not happened yet. In verse 16, the nations that came against Jerusalem will have to go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Jesus Christ. Three chapters of Zechariah are prophecy. That were the events that precede and include the second coming of Jesus Christ. So you'll have a Jewish-controlled Jerusalem when they come back out of the mountains, when Jesus Christ takes over. The real Jerusalem prophesied in the Bible. You know, Daniel was before Zechariah. He lived during the time of the captivity of the Jews in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And his book speaks of the Jews' sacrifices on a regular basis, being cut off in the end times, though. Daniel 12:11 and Daniel 1, verse 13. So, this event, these events, had a forerunner in the temple, the defilement under Syrian ruler Antiochus Epiphanes in the 2nd century B.C. Epiphanes. But you know, Jesus Christ confirmed this as a future event that would precede his return. When you talk about Daniel 11:31 and Matthew 24:15. So this means that these sacrifices must first be reinstituted, be started back again as the temple's rebuilt and require Jewish rule over the city. That's not happened yet. They like to refer back to when they say, well, it all finished in 70 AD. Well, they refer back to Epiphanes, 2nd century BC. Uh-uh. No, sir. So they got to start the temple sacrifices again. They got to rebuild the temple to do them in. That didn't happen yet. When the peace covenant is confirmed by the Antichrist, that's when it'll start. So about 100 years ago, these developments were really hard to imagine, especially within Jerusalem. And for this reason, that no independent Jewish political entity existed in the Middle East. So after rebellion against the Romans in 66 AD, and again in 132 AD, Judea was crushed. Remaining Jews were dispersed throughout the Roman Empire and beyond it. No Jewish homeland existed again until 1948, when the modern nation of Israel was established. But at the same time, not everything else was established. UN, Jerusalem, CIA, United Nations, I said already, Roswell, all kinds of things happened. The takedown of America began in 1948. All kinds of things happened in 1948. As before the Korean War, beginning of communism, all kinds of stuff. So an independent Jewish homeland was a dream for a small group of zealots about a century ago. And it moved closer to World War I. You got the Balfour Agreement, all kinds of stuff taking place. Forces of British Commonwealth took control of Jerusalem from the Turks in December of 1916. A few months later, the British government pledged itself to establishment of independent Jewish homeland in the ancient lands the Jews had inhabited for centuries. So, it was to be another 30 years before the dream was realized in 1948. Since this tiny little Israel, British colony, by the way, has had to fight wars for survival in 1948, we talked about 1967 and around 1973 when they bombed our ship. USS Liberty. LBJ wanted that ship sunk. Yeah. LBJ wanted it sunk. Remember? The world leaders do not work for the people. The world leaders work for the Illuminati and for the secret societies and the Vatican. So in between there, they want to have a war and blame the sinking of liberty on Egypt to get the war started. But it was not to be. Countless terrorist attacks and threats of annihilation. They picked up the steam. Now, I've thrown a lot of stuff at you tonight, and several things that had to happen before the end of time, before Jesus came back, excuse me. And I think that's pretty good. I think it's okay. We continue tomorrow, part two. I'll continue on with events that have to take place before, and we'll see how far we get. And I will continue on with Jesus is coming soon, as I told you, and the other parts of it. Because I sometimes put more commentary than I plan, because I like to at least be thorough in it. I research other researchers and cover as many bases as I possibly can and give you a Bible study that you can sink your teeth into. We got a financial restructuring coming up. I don't know when it's going to be. Everybody's all nervous about it and all this, that know what's going on. Whatever happens is going to happen. 80% of the population don't have a clue anyway. So when the ATMs close down and the shelves of the grocery stores empty out, you'll know it. It can happen any time. All they got to do is pull the plug. But Jesus will allow it to get your attention, get those attention. I think he's already got y'all's attention. But to get others' attention, you got to shake up their world a little bit. And that's coming. And when you know it's here, then you'll know what to do. Whether it's this generation, whether it's in April, May, June, this year, next year, whenever it is, whatever. You only can be so prepared for it. But being spiritually prepared is number one. First and foremost. And know there's going to be perilous times to come. But know that the good news says that Jesus Christ is coming back. And when you have a connection with him, when you have that link, when you have that prayer life that you have, you feel his presence. When things are falling apart around you, you'll have that calm within. It will be your opportunity then to witness to others that are panicking. It's coming. You may live a long life. Maybe it won't come. It's in God's time, not ours. So why live in fear? Anticipation? Yeah. Fear? No. Worry? No. Live your life. They're trying to get you to live in fear. When you have fear, you lost faith. When you're afraid of death, how do you live life? You don't. Satan wins. The drugs keep you off balance. They keep the kids trained with this psychotropic drugs and nonsense. That's how they do it. So family, when there's a spanking, there comes a blessing. As I kind of say, when there's a messing, there comes a blessing. Just be ready for it. Spiritually, get your house in order. Pray for protection. Ephesians 6, full armor of God. And God will use you, no matter where, when you're ready. Well, family, I'm going to close in prayer. I want to remind you, before I go, we're played up at highpointradio.net, John Kirkler, highpointradio.net, in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He plays my broadcast and Bible studies randomly, and on his network, excuse me, in those three states, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. He has sponsors up there. If you live in those areas, use them if you'd like. Donations to him or encouragement, whatever. For me, it's appreciation that he plays my broadcast and Bible studies. It's simple as that. Excuse me. Also, I have a website, watchmanforjesus.com, and the Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. So, family, I appreciate your participation tonight. I won't load you down. I see here I stopped at 3. Tomorrow night we'll talk about the end time King of the North and King of the South. And we'll have four other events that must take place. And then we'll talk about Jesus coming soon and what I told you we're going to talk about before was what happens when you die. What happens when Jesus Christ comes back. The marriage supper of the Lamb, those kind of things. We'll talk about tomorrow and the day after. Whoa! Oh, better be tomorrow, huh? Gosh, I've lost track of the time. I get so caught up in this research, I keep forgetting between Wednesday and Friday. So, tonight was January the 29th, 2015. And I want to close in prayer. I know. And then we'll see you all tomorrow night, 8 to 9. 4 to 6, Bible broadcast. Bible study 8 to 9. Lord, thank you tonight that we came together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we do pray you touch us with your Holy Spirit to give us the knowledge, discernment, and wisdom that we're going to need in these perilous times ahead. And Father, we can lead. We can teach others, witness to others, and give us that protection until the time we come home. Father, we pray for awakening in this country, in the pulpits today, to bring out those watchmen, to bring out those that know the truth. Those in the military, those in the government, those in your industries and education. And Father, for those to step away from their assigned roles and take up the cross. And expose all the deception. Father, we pray for our children. Through the Holy Spirit to render these drugs null and void. Because many don't know about the effects of the drugs on our veterans, on our children. We call upon you, Lord, supernaturally, to intervene. That they'll have the opportunities. And take away the thoughts of suicide and this demon that brings those thoughts around. Father, we pray for tomorrow. We pray for this weekend coming up. Lord, to guide us in studying your worship. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, I appreciate y'all coming by. Close in prayer. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. We'll hit the ground running. More about what they're doing to the children and how you can combat it in a way that's peaceful. And we'll just cover it again tomorrow. Hit the ground running. Like I always do. Have a good night. God bless y'all. And we'll see y'all tomorrow. and good night. Signing off.
Eyes, guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
I am with you every day.